that series. I'm excited about this series because I believe that if you will grasp the truth of this series, you will change your life. It will change for the good. I believe that every one of us can become masters of our own mind. In fact, through this series, we're going to continue to look at some of Paul's writings. And in his writings, he puts a great emphasis and weight on our minds and our thinking. In fact, he said this in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. He said, "For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit." So what he's saying here is that what we set our minds on has a strong influence in the direction and outcome of our life. And so whatever we set our mind on is going to determine not only the direction of our life, but our behavior, what we do, the quality of our life. He says those who are living according to the flesh, it's because they've set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who are living according to the Spirit, it's because they've set their minds on the things of the Spirit. And so whatever we set our mind on, we can expect that that is going to be the direction and outcome of our life. In fact, the overarching truth that I want you to take with you today, and you can write this down. We've provided an outline on our newpassion.family site. You can download that and follow along. But I want you to write this down and take it with you. Your predominant thoughts will determine the direction of your life. Your predominant thoughts will determine the direction of your life. Paul tells us that what people had set their minds on and what you set your mind on will determine the direction of your life. If you set your mind on the things of the flesh, then you will live according to the flesh. If you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, you will live according to the Spirit. So on a scale of 1 to 10, over the last several weeks or months, where have you set your mind? Where have you set your thinking? Has it been on, if on a scale of 1 to 10, has it been on worried thinking? Or has it been on peaceful thinking? Has it been on worrying about COVID-19 and coronavirus? Has it been worrying about your finances and how you're going to pay your bills with lower work hours or being furloughed? Has it been worried about your children, or are they going to make the right decisions as they move into middle school, high school, or college, if they're going to continue to follow after Jesus? Or is your mind set on the scale of 1 to 10 over on the 10 side, on the positive side, at peaceful things? Can you find rest? Is your mind at rest? Is your mind at peace? Is there little to no conflict within your mind, no anxiety that you're having to deal with and that you're having to cope with? Is your mind peaceful or is it worried? Is your mind negative or is it dwelling on thinking positive? Is everything a conflict? Is everything a problem? Is there a problem with your work and with your coworkers and with your customers and with your family and with your neighbors and on and on and on, with your teachers and with your school? And we could go down the line of all of the things that it's just negativity. Is it easy to find fault with people? Does it always feel like everybody else is wrong, or they have the wrong answer, or they're doing the wrong thing? Is your mind dwelling on thinking negative thoughts, or do you think in positive terms? Do you believe the best? Do you believe that God is good and that he's going to work all things to the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose? That he's going to work all things out according to his plan and his glory? That it's all going to be okay? Are you thinking on positive things? Or are you thinking on worldly things? Or are you thinking on eternal things? Scale of 1 to 10, worldly things, eternal things. Are your thoughts dwelling on yourself, on the things of the flesh, how you can benefit from things, how you can gain pleasure from things, or maybe even sexual and crude thoughts? Because your minds will lead you, your thoughts will lead you in those directions and in that pathway. Or do you think on eternal things, how you can use your life and your circumstances for the glory of God? How you can use your life and your circumstances for the eternal good of your fellow man? Do you dwell and do you set your mind on worldly thinking or on eternal thinking? Because your predominant thoughts will determine the direction of your life. Wherever you set your mind, you can expect your life to go in that direction. It does not matter what you accomplish in life, what you achieve in life, what you can purchase, what you can buy, how wealthy you are. It doesn't matter what you do. A negative mind will always lead to a negative life. You cannot have a positive life with a negative mind. You cannot have an eternal or a life that is headed towards an eternal direction with a worldly mind. You cannot be at peace with a worrisome mind. It does not matter what you accomplish. It doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter what you do. You cannot have a positive life with a negative mind. And so some of you, you're living out your life, and the direction of your life and the destination of your life has been directly determined by the thoughts that you believe since childhood or since a teenager, the things that were said to you, the things that were that you were led to believe. Maybe it was because of the action of a parent or the action of someone else, and it led to secondary thoughts because of maybe they abandoned you, they left you, that they did something that hurt you or wounded you, and it put within you a lie, a deceptive lie, what the Bible would call a stronghold. It's held you in bondage because you've believed that lie, that thought popped in your mind and you grabbed a hold of it and you believed it. And it's led you to where you are today. It's led you to where you're moving at today. Are you happy with the direction of your life? Are you happy with the destination of your life? Because if not, it's time to change your thinking. Change your thinking, change your life. Change your thinking, change your life, because the predominant thoughts of your life, your predominant thinking, will determine the direction of your life. And so, are you happy with your life? Because Paul tells us that those who live according to the flesh, they had set their minds on the things of flesh. So whatever you set your mind on will determine the direction of your life. Those who lived according to the Spirit had set their minds on things of the Spirit. So here is what Paul writes to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 3. He says this: "For although we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh, since the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds." So here in verses 3 through 4, he tells us that we live in the world, but we do not fight our battles with worldly weapons. God, through the Holy Spirit, has given us powerful weapons in which we can fight our battles. We can wage war. And so what he says here, that word powerful, its original word is dunatos, and it is the same word by which we get the word dynamite. So what he is telling us is we have this dynamic, powerful weapon through the Holy Spirit, weapons in which we can wage war against the things of the flesh, against those things that would put us in strongholds. He says, through those powers, we demolish strongholds. Strongholds are a fortified prison. A stronghold is used by our spiritual enemy in order to drive us into bondage and to drive us into being essentially locked up in prison through our thinking and through our mind. And so he tells us in verse 4, "Since the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds." So we want to demolish these strongholds because the enemy wants to lock us up and to put us in prison and to put us in a fortified bondage through our thinking. We don't battle demonic forces physically, in person. The way that we have to fight them, the serpent did this in the garden. He got to their thinking. He got Adam and Eve to question truth. He took what God said and he had them question it. Did God really say that? Well, God didn't mean that. That's not what he meant. He attacked their thinking. He attacked their mind. The way that you win the war against the enemy is by demolishing the strongholds, demolishing the things that would hold you in bondage. You fight against wrong thinking with truthful thinking. You combat toxic thinking with truthful thinking. You wage war against fearful thinking through the truth, through thinking on what is true. He tells us we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the powerful dynamic weapons that he gives us, we wage war and we demolish these strongholds. He continues on he says this in the second part of verse 4, moving on. He says, "We demolish arguments and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ." So what is he telling us that we do? We not only demolish the strongholds, but we're going to take captive every thought, and we're going to set it and make it obedient to Christ. So we're going to take the error, the toxic thinking, the fearful thinking, and we're going to make it be obedient to Christ, to the truth of God's word. So, once again, he says this, "And every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God," the knowledge of God is what we know about God in our minds. So everything that rises up against that, it says, "We take every thought captive to obey Christ." So at the moment of that toxic thought, at the moment of that negative thought, at the moment of that lie, instead of believing it, we're going to take it captive and we are going to make it obedient to Christ. We're going to make it obedient to the truth of God's word. So today I want us to look at two tools that will help us to master our mind. The first is this: you have to identify the number one stronghold that is holding you back. I don't want you to have to find 3 or 5 different strongholds that's holding you back. I want you to identify the number one stronghold that is holding you back in life. Every one of us have had strongholds that are holding us back. A lie, a thought that is not honoring to God, that is not the truth of God's word, but we believed it and it determined the direction of our life. It determined the quality of our life. It determined the direction of our life. So we're going to name or identify the number one stronghold in our life. We, as we think and as we have thoughts, we create chemical reactions in our brain. There are things called neural pathways that are created as we have thoughts. There's a person by the name of Caroline Leaf, and she has done several different studies, and she's a neurologist, and so she's released some great resources on this, and we'll look at maybe some of her other stuff throughout this series. And we're so grateful for Life Church for this series and giving us a great platform to use on this. But Caroline Leaf does some great studies that will align with this series perfectly, because she studied the brain. She's done a lot of study, especially in people that have had traumatic brain injuries. And she did a lot of studies to see whether or not the brain could heal and if it could continue to grow through our minds. And so she's made some remarkable discoveries, one of which is how neuropathways works. Because every time we have a thought, we create pathways. And the more we have those thoughts, or the more that we dwell on those thoughts, it's like walking through a field. You pave a path and you make it easier to walk down that path. It becomes a path, becomes what they would consider a natural path. My dad has a couple of different roads that you can take in order to get to his house. He lives down a dirt road. One of the paths is full of loose sand, and you can get to this certain point in the road, and depending on what you drive or depending on your speed or whatever, you can get to this path, and many people have going to his house or just even traveling down his road. You get to this place and you can get bogged down in the sand and you can get stuck. And I believe it's the same way with some of us on the pathway of our thinking, that there was a thought that was entered into your mind at some point in your life, maybe as a child or a teenager, maybe even as an adult, maybe through an ex-spouse, maybe through a former church or pastor, maybe through a parent or something like that. But something was said to you, some thought entered into your mind and you dwelled on it and you thought on it. And now it leads you to a point in your life where you get bogged down and you're paralyzed and you can't move any further. You can't go any further beyond that point, because that is what you have believed and it has led you to paralyzation. We talked about this last week, especially in the realm of identity. Some of you, it's not about, I'm not one of these that's always like, hey, don't give up and don't quit, because I believe that there are people that do need to give up some things and they do need to quit some things, because it's not who God designed them to be. It's not in their giftedness. And yet they've wrapped their identity around, I got to be this, I got to accomplish this, I have to have this title, I have to have this position. And so they are paralyzed from accomplishing what God wants for them because they have bought a false identity. And so they're bogged down in their life. They don't even know it, but they're treading water. They're not going anywhere because they bought a lie, because they're not living out their true identity and who they are in Christ. See, it's who you are in Christ, not what you do for a living, not what you do in life, not what you do as a career, not what you do in your hobbies. That's not who you are. It's not your sexuality. It's none of those things. It is who you are in Christ. It's not in anything else beyond that. So some of you are kind of in that pathway where you even self-sabotage yourself. Like you start having success and you start seeing good things, and then you have these thoughts that you don't deserve it. You have these thoughts that it's going to fall apart anyway, and so you begin to self-sabotage and you never go anywhere beyond that. Some people are stuck in the same rut over and over and over again, but a pathway has led them to that place to where they are stuck, where they get stuck. And then there's another path that you can take to get to my dad's house, and it's kind of like the same way with our thinking, that the more it's been traveled, it wasn't a natural path. It's a path that has been kind of created out of a natural landscape, but if you were to leave it, it would grow back over, and you wouldn't be able to get down it because there's some dirt pathway where tires have gone from vehicles, but even in the center, there's grass. That has to be kept down, that has to be trampled down. There's weeds and grass and overgrowth on the sides. And so if you were to leave this path alone for a period of time, it would grow back up. But the more you travel down the path, the easier it is to get down that path. And it's the same way for us in our thought processes and in our mind. The more you give thought to something, the easier that path is. It's going to become a default thought process in your life. The more you think that you're worthless, the more by default you're going to feel like you're worthless. You're going to think that you're worthless. The more you believe that lie, the easier it is. It's going to become default to believe that lie. What you have to do is abandon that pathway and create a new pathway. And sometimes that takes time. Sometimes it's not easy to create a new pathway. But the more you give life to the negative thoughts, to the worldly thoughts, to the worried thoughts, the easier it's going to be to continue to think on things that make you worried and anxious and the things of this world and of the flesh. The easier it's going to be to give thought to negativity and to the things that cause conflict and pain. The easier it is to give thought to the lies and the deceptions. And so you have to abandon that pathway and create a new one. And the way you create a new one is you identify what those things are, what that biggest stronghold is that's holding you back. You take it captive, you demolish the strongholds, and you make it submissive to the truth of God's word. Several years ago, and I've been very open about how I came out of very legalistic environments. And so I had left kind of the legalistic church and had kind of found some newfound freedom. A lot of that came through just reading God's word and letting it speak to me for itself and learning for myself, not just taking what someone had kind of chopped up and used to manipulate and to control me. And so in this process, I found myself on some forums where some more legalistic pastors would be. And they would debate all kinds of things, not only with themselves, but with other people that we get on there to try to kind of goad them at times. And so now that God's been opening my eyes and I understand the true gospel and the freedom of that gospel, I now wanted to go and to kind of debate and have conversations around the things that used to be used to control people and to manipulate them and to basically hold them down to religion rather than the liberty and the freedom of our relationship with Christ through the gospel. And so I began to get very good at that, and I began to be able to silence some of these pastors and to kind of put them in their place. And what happened is it was no longer about the gospel and helping people to see the truth of the gospel and the error of their way, but now it became about pride. It became about putting them in their place. It was about almost feeling superior, like you're wrong and I'm right. And so I kept going back and back because this is what happens. The more that we think on things that bring joy to us and happiness to us, it creates a chemical reward in our body called dopamine. It's called dopamine. So the more that I started feeling good about myself and that pride, oh yeah, you're something, you're superior to them, you're better to them, it gave me a shot of dopamine. It's no different than in your own life when you do something and you get a compliment from someone that makes you feel good, it gives you a shot of dopamine. It's a chemical reward. It makes you feel good. Maybe you, on your social media account, you post something and someone likes it and you get that reaction, or you get the heart, or now you got the little emoji hugging the heart and for care, and you get that, it makes you feel good. And so you want to do it again and again. You want to post more and more. Or maybe you write a blog post, or you put something out there, putting yourself out there, maybe a video that you did, and so people like it. And so it makes you want to go back for more and for more. Why? Because it's dopamine. It's a legal chemical drug that's addictive. And so the more you do that, the more you want the feeling of the joy and the happiness and how good it makes you feel. It's no different for people that have drug addictions and or alcoholics, or they turn to food or other addictions in order to cope with a pain or to escape reality. They turn to these things, and it gives them shots of dopamine in a time of sadness or in a time that they're wanting to escape. And things like cocaine will give an overabundance of dopamine. And in that moment, it overwhelms their body with this addictive legal drug because it's naturally created. And yet it makes them want to go back for more and more and more. And yet they're using it as a means to escape reality, to escape a pain that, instead of dealing with head on, instead of creating a new path, they keep going down the old path in order to get this dopamine. For some, we get that feeling of sympathy and good feelings as people come along to comfort us, because maybe we're down in the dumps, we have low self-esteem, we're beating ourselves up. So we discover and we find that if we post that online, and we can get people feeling sorry for us, and it gives us that shot of dopamine. It makes us feel good, and we want to come back for more. And so all of a sudden, instead of just getting sympathy because maybe the first time you were going through something, now it becomes a manufactured. We don't want to give those things up. We don't want freedom. We don't want healing, because we're gaining more by getting the attention from people, because maybe we're attention starved. Maybe we were abandoned as a young person. Maybe we don't feel loved. And so what happens is we feel like we're now getting the attention that we longed for and that we missed out on, but it's a false attention. It's based on a lie, but yet it gives us that shot of dopamine. It makes us feel good, so we keep going back for more and for more and for more. And it's the same way with our thoughts. It's just like that dopamine makes us keep going back for more, for more, for more. We keep going back to the pathways that we know and that we're familiar with, and that brings us some sense of maybe happiness or joy or contentment or whatever, just for a moment. And so as I found myself on these forums, it no longer became about the gospel, but it became about getting that shot of dopamine. It made me feel good, but I began to believe a lie, and I continued to go back down that pathway, going back for more over and over and over again, because it made me feel good, made myself feel good. So I had to identify what that was. And if you're going to get the freedom, if you're going to remove and move past a stronghold, you're going to have to identify what it is in your life, that stronghold that's holding you back. So in studying God's word in Philippians chapter 1, I read where Paul said that as he was in prison, there were other people preaching the gospel, and some, it was for selfish motivation. It was for the wrong reasons, but they were preaching Jesus. And even in their methodology, it was to make his chains even more difficult, even stronger, like as if he was getting punishment in prison for what they were doing outside of prison. It was making them more difficult. But he made this resolve, whether they were doing it for the right reasons or whether they were doing it for their own purposes, for their own gain, he said this: as long as Jesus is being preached, I will rejoice. I will rejoice. And as I now came to that conclusion and came to that truth, it helped me not only to identify the lie that I was believing, the thoughts that I was believing that was improper, because it was no longer about me versus them. Because if they were preaching Jesus, though we had some different ideas on different things, if they were preaching the gospel as it should be preached, as it's supposed to be preached, and we could agree on that, then I could rejoice now with my brothers, even though we had some differences. And so the more that I've walked down that path, I no longer know the old path of competition between the church, but now I have a new path that I travel, and it's become my default path, that I want to be about the global church. I want to be about the greater kingdom of God. It's not about New Passion. It's not about Nick, but it's about us as the children of God, as the family of God. So I had to identify what that was that I was believing in my life. It was the pride, the dopamine that I was getting that was chemically rewarding me for feeling good about myself, and yet I was going against the truth of God's word. And so it took the truth of God's word to help me to come to a place where I could get freedom and where I could walk in the Spirit, where I could live by the Spirit. As I led anger management with a group of men over the years, that's one of the number one things we would help them to do, is to identify what it is, that trigger that would make them angry, that would lead them to anger, and then we would be able to give them tools and resources to help them not get angry, to help them to avoid that when they knew, they sensed that they were growing in anger, that they were growing in frustration. They could identify it so that they could fix it, so they could take it captive, and they can make it submissive and obedient to Christ. It's no different in your thinking, in your mind. You have to be able to take it captive, that you don't feel that you're enough, that you feel like you're not going to have enough. Whatever it is, whatever lie you've believed, whatever deception you have believed, you have to take it captive. You have to make it obedient to Christ. You have to make it obedient to the truth of God's word. The second tool that I want to give you in your toolbox, not only are we going to identify the number one stronghold that's holding us back, but the second thing is to name the truth that's going to help you demolish the stronghold. You're going to name the truth that demolishes the stronghold. I was speaking with a guy just this week that as he was dealing with some anxiety and he was dealing with some things in his life, I was sharing with him, if you don't know the truth, then you can't counteract, you can't attack, you can't combat the lie. You can't combat the negative thinking. You have to know the truth. So you have to immerse yourself in the Word of God, the truth, in order to give yourself something to anchor to. If not, you're going to be like the house built on shifting sands, and as the world sways around us, our life will sway around us. As the winds and the waves beat against us, our lives will sway to and fro. We will be shifting. We will not have a firm foundation. Truth gives us a firm foundation to root our life in. And so as I'm facing these negative thoughts, as I'm facing deceptive thoughts, as I'm facing toxic thoughts, I'm able to combat those with the truth of God's word. As I feel like I'm defeated, I can go to God's word and say, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. As I feel like I can't win, I can look to Scripture, who says they overcame the enemy by the blood of Jesus and by the word of their testimony. As I feel like God has abandoned me, I can look to the Scripture where He says that I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Where I can look all through life and I can see where I feel hopeless, and I go to Romans and I can see that we have a greater hope awaiting us in heaven. Where I feel like I've been abandoned, I feel like I'm not wanted, and I can see in Ephesians where God has adopted me through Christ Jesus as a son, where He's adopted you as a daughter all over and over and over again. If I feel unloved, I can go to Scripture. I can see, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Where I feel like I don't measure up, the truth is I don't measure up, left to my own devices. But if I understand the truth and I understand the gospel in Christ, I have been made to measure up because He measured up for me. That He that knew no sin became sin so that I could become the righteousness of God. That He was that sacrifice once for all time that was pleasing and acceptable to God. That He did for me what I couldn't do for myself. So as I have those thoughts, as I have that anxiety, as I have that worry, as those lies pop into my mind, I don't have to go to those things, but I can go to the truth of God's word. If I ever feel like I'm at competition with another church, if I feel like I'm at competition with another pastor, I can go to the truth of God's word and say, as long as Jesus is being preached, I will rejoice. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to be unified. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 that we, his followers, those who would come after the disciples, would be unified. They would be one as he is one. So as I feel competition, as I feel disunity, I can go to the truth of God's word and see what he has called me to, and I can change my thinking, not to the things of error, not to the things of flesh, but I can set my mind on the things of truth, on the things of God's word, and now I can take those strongholds and I can make them captive to the things of God, to the truth, to Christ. And so I have to be able to identify it, but then I'm going to name the truth. I have to know the truth. I have to immerse myself in the word of God. In that anger management, we had a thing called the ABCD method. And in that, it was to help people to not only identify those triggers, but also how to reshape their thinking and to reshape what they were thinking on and how they were approaching the situation. So the ABCD means something. The A was the activating event. That is what happened. What's leading to that anger? What's leading to that event? So for some of us, it's what's leading to that thinking? If we have a activating event, what's leading to that? What's causing you to think that way? The other is the B is belief. It's what you believe about that situation. It's what you believe. So as an example, and I can give you a greater example of all of these together, but the belief would be, in that moment, what do you believe as that thought comes into your mind? Do you believe what the thought is telling you? Or do you believe the truth of God's word? The C is the consequence of that. If I follow this through, if I follow through my emotions, what's the consequence of this going to be? So as that negative thought pops into your mind, if you follow it out to its end, what's the destination of your life going to be? If you go through life feeling like you don't measure up, like feeling like you're never going to have enough, well, for some, that could lead someone, the consequence of that could be, well, if I feel like I don't have enough and God's not provided for me and he is not sovereign over all creation and he's not sovereign over the provision of his people, if he's not able to give us today our daily bread, if he's not able to do that, I'm going to be tempted to go out and to make it happen on my own in maybe illegal and wrong ways. And so what is the consequences for what you believe about the activating event? And then the D is the dispute, how you dispute that belief, how you dispute what that thought is. How are you going to reframe that? The activating event in an anger management situation might be that you're walking up a flight of stairs and someone comes down the stairs rushed, running, and they bump into you, but they don't take the time to stop and say, I'm sorry, they just keep going. So what you believe in that moment could be that people only care about themselves, and that was rude, and he could care less about people. People these days, they only care about themselves. And so you could believe that. The consequence of that could be that now your blood pressure starts rising, you start feeling tense, and now you're driving, you're fuming on it, you're thinking about how rude that person was, how inappropriate he was, whatever. And you just continue to fume, and it builds up, and it builds up, and the more you think on it, the more you dwell on it, the more you set your mind on it, the more angry and mad you get, the more frustrated you get. I wish I would have told him this. I wish I would have said this to him. I wish he would have turned around. I would have given him a piece of my mind or whatever. So you're fuming on it. You're thinking on it. And see, we can take this circumstance on anything. We could look at all the circumstances that have happened around the COVID-19 shutdowns. And we could go, what has happened with the school system, with the homeschooling, with all of these things? What did you believe about it? What was the consequence? And then you have an option. You can just continue on with that. And what could happen is you get home, and because you're frustrated because someone bumped into you and they were rude to you, then you could blow up at your family. You could take your frustration out on them. You could take your frustration out on your coworkers. Or you could dispute that. And you could, in your self-talk, helping you to reason and to think differently, you could say, you know what, he could have been in a hurry. I'm not sure what's going on in that guy's life, but there could have been an emergency. And he was so focused on getting to his family or going to take care of whatever that was that he wasn't even focused on anything around him. And as people of faith, we could pray for that person because maybe they were rude. Well, the only thing that's going to change their heart is prayer. And so maybe we lift them up in prayer, or maybe we pray, God, if there's an emergency going on in their life, would you take care of it? Would you provide for them? And so we never know what's going on in people's lives. We never know why they're rushing down the stairwell or why they're driving like a maniac. They could just be a maniac, but we don't know. So we dispute the beliefs. We dispute the thoughts. And from a Christian standpoint, as we're talking about our thinking, as we talk about our mind, because our predominant thoughts determine the direction of our life. So as those negative thoughts come in our mind, as those toxic thoughts come into our mind, as we start believing those things, we have to dispute them. We have to take them captive, and we have to make them submissive and obedient to the truth of God's word. We have to make them obedient to Christ. And as we do this, we can bring peace and a calm to our life. We can allow the negative pathway that we've been traveling for years to cover over, and we can create a new pathway. We can create a new path that we travel down and that we go down that's positive, that is eternal, that is peaceful thinking, that is of the Spirit. So today, I don't know what it is that you are dealing with and what you're going through. I don't know what lies you might be dealing with, but I want you to take this week and I want you to take one stronghold, and I want you to put this into practice. I want you to take whatever that number one stronghold is, and I want you to identify it. I want you to identify the one thing that's holding you back, that one thought, that one thing that you believe, maybe from childhood or maybe as a teenager. And I want you to identify it, and then I want you to find the truth of God's word in His word. I want you to find the truth of who God is, who He claims to be, who He professes to be, who He says that you are, what He says that He promises to you as your Father, as your Savior, whatever that is. I want you to find the truth, and I want you to take captive that thought, to demolish that stronghold, and I want you to, every time you start thinking about that thing, I want you to dispute it with the Word of God. I want you to think on the truth. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul tells us to think on what is true. I want you to dispute the negative, dispute the lie, dispute the negative with the truth of God's word. That is how you begin to create new neural pathways. That's how you get new shots of dopamine to make you feel great, but you feel great around the truth of God's word. And the more you feel at peace, the more you feel that you're content, the more you walk in the ways of the Spirit, the more it will become a default for your life. That pathway following God will be default. It will become the easier path, and you will abandon the old pathways because of the neurological pathways that you are creating in your mind as you do the right thing, as you honor God in your thinking. So let me pray for you today. If you don't know Jesus, He can give you peace. He can give you contentment in your life. Most of all, He can give you Himself. He can give you salvation. The Bible tells us that if we believe in our heart that God raised Christ from the dead, so if we believe that He went to the cross, that He died for our sins, and that He was buried and raised to new life 3 days later, if you believe that in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, the Bible says that He will save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As I pray, you can have a conversation with God. There's no magic prayer that saves you. Repent of your sins. Profess your need for Jesus, profess your faith in Him, call out to Him, and He will save you. So I encourage you to have that conversation with God right now. Let me pray for you. God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that there's no hidden agenda and there's no mystery for us. But God, as we set our minds on certain things, we can know according to your word, and we can know even according to science that those are the pathways in which our life will travel, that our predominant thoughts will determine the pathway and the direction of our life. And so, God, help us to think on the truth. Help us to take every thought captive in our life and help us to demolish the strongholds, the wrong thinking, the toxic thinking, the negative thinking, the deceptive thinking that our enemy tries to lock us and take us into captivity with, and help us to think on the truth of God's word, to take it captive and to make it obedient to what you tell us in your word. God, it's not what our family tells us. It's not what our boss tells us. It's not even what we think about ourselves, but it's what the truth of your word says. So may we yield to the truth of God's word. May we yield ourselves to the truth of who you are and the truth of who Christ is. And may we live that out. And may we allow that to determine the steps of our life. May you give us the power and the strength to follow after you, to think on your things, to think on the things that are true in our life so that we will walk in those pathways. God, if there's someone here that doesn't know you today, I pray that they would reach out to you. I pray that they would give their life to you today, that they would repent of their sins and they would profess a faith in Christ. And today would be the day of their salvation. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.